You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
On this Friday, November 17th, we're talking Cubs baseball today with Kerry Muscat, Cubs reporter for MLB.com. Kerry, we thank you for the time as we head into the weekend. And as we head into the weekend, to nobody's surprise, two of the nine players that rejected qualifying offers for 2018, members of the Cubs, Jake Arrieta and Wade Davis, as we've touched on in previous weeks, and now they are officially free agents. And Kerry, I want to get your observations about Arrieta in particular. 2017 for him, really a tale of two halves. Pre-All-Star break, not great, a 4.35 ERA, a lot of control issues before the All-Star break. Afterwards, though, he was his normal self, the Arrieta we've come to see over these past two or three years, and a 2.28 ERA after the All-Star break, one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I guess from a mechanical or a technical standpoint, what was the biggest adjustments that he made to kind of turn things around in the second half of the season?
Basically, so he'd gotten kind of out of whack with his mechanics in the first half. And I think we kind of need to look a little deeper into the numbers, though. I mean, you threw out the ERA. He made 18 starts in the first half. He only made 12 in the second half because he was bothered by a hamstring injury
right. That
slowed him. So he totaled 100 innings in the first half and only 67 in the second half. So it, as nice as the ERA looks, and I'm sure that his agent will make sure that everyone knows how great it looks, Arrieta is such a physical specimen. The guy takes such great care of himself. For him to have any kind of injuries is always like, whoa, that can't be true. No one believes it. So he takes such great care. But to go back to the pitching, he was able to get his mechanics a little better. The hamstring injury was a little scary. I think what the Cubs will point out when Boris demands like a $300 million deal, what the Cubs will point out is that his velocity went down a little bit. And the Cubs kind of discovered, and Arrieta, I think, discovered when he didn't try to muscle everything up there, he was better in terms of command. I think the number of home runs he gave up was a little high. They'd prefer not to have that. The walks were definitely high. And that's something that was really actually very troublesome to him in terms of the walks percentage, you know, with the innings pitch. I think Arrieta, obviously, he's one of the best pitchers on the market right now. But I think a lot of teams saw what the Cubs saw, was just that the velo was down, and kind of curious as to how long a contract you want to give somebody when you see that.
Yeah, agreed. And I know that Scott Boras, his agent, is kind of promoting him as, you know, a guy that's, when you have him on your side in a playoff scenario, he is going to come through, and the numbers certainly bear that out even this season in the two series that the Cubs had in the 2017 postseason. So we'll see what kind of a deal he commands on the open market. It's I think him and Darvish are certainly the two marquee starters on the market this offseason. And, Kerry, I know that, you know, every team, whether it's you're talking pitching or position players, you have your star players, obviously, but you have guys, too, that are leaders. And sometimes they're the same people. Other times it could be different people. Maybe a leader is not a guy that necessarily has the best numbers on the team. Do you see, if Arrieta does depart and all indications point towards that happening, how much of a leadership void could that create within the starting ranks? And who could you see filling that, especially when you consider that John Lackey, you know, it's 50-50 with him right now. But again, how much of a leadership void could you see if, you know, Arrieta, when he does officially leave the Cubs?
Well, it does create a void. But on the other hand, John Lester, you know, really is the horse of this staff, and always he will be as long as he's with the Cubs. I mean, Lester may have had a little bit of a rough year. He was also bothered by injuries, but I don't think that's going to be an issue. Lester will definitely pick up the slack. And it's been interesting to see Kyle Hendricks, even though he's very quiet, it'd be interesting to see how he steps up a little bit, because he had such a good second half. You know, that Lackey apparently has told the Cubs that he does want to pitch another year. Whether or not it's with the Cubs remains to be seen. He is a free agent also, so we'll see. right now they've got two holes in their rotation, and during the GM meetings, they sort of laid the groundwork with some of the agents. I mean, this pitching is definitely a priority, and that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, no question. And that leads us directly into the next topic, which is the GM meetings, which are now completed from this past week in Orlando, Florida. Jed Hoyer among his counterparts down there in the Sunshine State. So, Kerry, beyond the pitching issues, and again, that's first and foremost with, you know, obviously the uncertainty regarding Lackey and Arrieta probably gone, Wade Davis probably gone. What were some of the other issues that Jed Hoyer kind of brought to the table during these past few days down in Orlando?
To be honest, really, pitching was the number one. They really kind of stressed that. I mean, that, you know, if you look at the Cubs roster position player wise, they have a really good core of young players. So there aren't any concerns in terms of the infield. There's really no concerns in terms of the outfield. They're expecting players like Albert Almora Jr. to get a little more playing time. It'll be interesting to see where they slot in Ian Happ. And then, of course, Cubs fans are all a little nervous because they're wondering who they might trade to get some of that pitching, if that's the way that they have to go, if there's not a good matchup on the free agent market. So there was some discussion regarding Javi Baez versus Addison Russell, but I think that's just sort of a, let's see where that, you know, Madden wants to keep both of them because he likes them up the middle. So let's just see. There's, you know, they discuss, you know, the Cubs obviously didn't have one bona fide leadoff hitter last season, and they really missed Dexter Fowler, but Theo Epstein has called that more of a luxury, not a necessity, in terms of having one guy. Personally, I think it's something that's a little more important, but I'm not going to argue with Theo. But it's just, there's just little things like that. But really, pitching, it's pitching, pitching, pitching. That's the number one priority. No matter what.
Yeah, and they're no different from the other 29 teams in baseball, that no matter what success you may have had or didn't have, you're always looking to upgrade pitching, both in the rotation and the bullpen ranks, for sure. Kerry, want to get your opinion quickly. You brought up the leadoff situation and how that was kind of just league average in 2017. Ben Zobrist, he's not going anywhere, we know that, but he's 36 years old now. He's played a lot in the past 2 years, of course, winning back-to-back World Series with two different teams, and then, of course, a fairly deep run here in 2017, battled some injuries. What is the kind of the take on him? Is there a feeling that maybe his best days are behind him, or that, you know, once he kind of collects himself and gets a breather here this offseason, that he can at least start to resemble the player that he was when he first came over to the Cubs when Joe Maddon got him back after they had spent so many years together in Tampa Bay?
I think it's more that he just needed a breather. He did play for the Royals in their World Series run, then joined the Cubs. He's had some long seasons. And then this past season was really bothered by a wrist injury, and a lot of times guys don't like to say how much of a factor that those aches and pains are. They always try and put up this brave front, but that was really more of a problem than he wanted to admit. So I think what they're hoping is that takes the off season, gets healthy 100%, and will come back real strong. He could be the guy who's at the top of the order, but on the other hand, Madden did call it the Rizzo sandwich, because he liked having Chris Bryant ahead of Rizzo and Zobrist behind him. That was the combination they had in 2016 when they did win the World Series. And as weird as it seems to have Ben Zobrist protecting Rizzo, it did seem to help him.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't argue with the results in 2016, obviously. So we'll see if Mr. Zobrist can bounce back in 2017. And like you said, those aches and pains, especially with the hands and the wrists and the fingers. We saw Mike Trout, of all people, miss 40-plus games after tearing a ligament, or at least damaging a ligament in his thumb. Those can be more significant injuries than the players like to let on, as you said, and we'll hope for a healthy Ben Zobrist here in 2018. Kerry, to kind of come down the stretch, I always like to throw some kudos in the way of guys that do these wonderful things off the field, and Brian Dunsing is doing a wonderful thing. He spent this past season, of course, with the Cubs. He's now a free agent, but just hours from now, as we're talking here on a Friday afternoon, He's going to be hosting, along with his wife Lisa, the Superhero Gala. Just kind of talk about that and talk about your discussion with him and the cause that he is trying to raise money for here.
What Dunsing does, and this is just so amazing to me because he does this pretty much on his own, although he says his wife does most of the heavy work, is that he will pick a group to support, and then they'll have a super fundraiser charity event in November, and the proceeds from that event will go towards that cause. This year in Omaha on November 17th, as we're speaking, it'll be a superhero gala to benefit Sammy Superheroes Foundation. Sammy is an 8-year-old boy who apparently is diagnosed with neuroblastoma, and he was diagnosed 4 years ago. He's doing pretty well. Neuroblastoma is a yucky cancer because kids can be diagnosed with this, and if they have relapse, they can sort of go the other way very quickly in terms of life expectancy. Sammy's doing well from what I'm told. And what the Dunsings will do is they'll have an auction. They're going to have a magician. I guess they prefer illusionist now, but they'll have some entertainment there, food. And it just is really kind of a neat thing that they're doing in Nebraska. At first I said, what are you doing in Nebraska? And he said, that's his home. That's where his family is. That's where they want to stay. But every year they've done this now for 3 years. What's really cool about Dunsing, if fans want to check his Twitter timeline in September, he would ask different groups to send him a T-shirt that was somehow involved with pediatric cancer awareness. And he would wear that T-shirt and take a selfie of himself and post it a different one every day in September, which is Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month.
Right.
And it was just kind of a neat personal event. And then his foundation will make a donation to each of those groups. So it's just, not only does he get a T-shirt, but they make a donation. So it's kind of a nice give and take. I'm just really impressed by just his efforts, because so many, you know, you hear a lot about Anthony Rizzo. His is personal. This was not, you know, fortunately for Brian and for Lisa, you know, they've got four kids. They're healthy. This is not as if there's been somebody in their family. It's just something that they wanted to do. They heard the story of a young boy. He'd died at 13 months from cancer. That inspired them. And it's just really terrific. And maybe he's hoping that if he can get kind of a long-term deal with a team, that he can set up something in that city to sort of carry on his efforts.
And that would be a wonderful thing, both for him and that team, whoever it may be. I had a wonderful year with the Cubs in 2017, and maybe a reunion is in the cards. But regardless of that, kudos both to him and to his wife for this wonderful cause. And for those that have not checked out the article yet by you, Carrie, do so on Cubs.com. And a lot of those pictures, a lot of those selfies with those bright, colorful T-shirts are on there. And you can learn more about this cause by the Dunsings. And they're doing a wonderful thing, that goes without saying. Carrie Muscat, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and we'll talk again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Chicago Cubs.